Well, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he is willing to sit down with China's government and talk through their grievances with Australia amid the ongoing mistrust and hostility. The Prime Minister says he wants dialogue, but he's also reiterated that Australia won't talk if the Chinese government tries to extract concessions as the price of talks. Here's Foreign Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts.
It's more a one-way barrage than a trade war. Over the last 9 months, China has targeted a dizzying array of Australian goods with sanctions, informal punishments and delays. And the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is looking for a reset.
The Australia-China relationship is important to Australia. The China-Australia relationship is important to China.
The question is how. Australian ministers have been frozen out and can't get their Chinese counterparts on the phone. And the Australian government remains worried that Beijing's campaign of economic punishment could expand. Scott Morrison says Australia is willing to talk about China's complaints.
Of course we value the trading and more broader comprehensive relationship, and we will be taking up whatever opportunities we believe is going to best position Australia to be in a position to advance that relationship.
Labor has largely backed the government on China policy, but it's become increasingly critical of the way the coalition has handled the dispute.
When Australian jobs in industries as diverse as wine, education, the timber industry, coal and other exports are under threat because of what has occurred, you need to find a way through.
Labor leader Anthony Albanese blames China for the breakdown in bilateral ties, but thinks Scott Morrison could be more enterprising, finding a solution, suggesting he recruit John Howard or Kevin Rudd to the cause.
And I think it is very sensible to engage former Prime Ministers Kevin Rudd and John Howard. That is suggestions that have come to me from senior people in the business community, as well as people in the union movement who've been worried about jobs.
But tensions between Australia and China have deep roots. Last year, the Chinese embassy in Canberra handed down a list of so-called 14 grievances, attacking Australia for introducing new laws against foreign interference, rejecting Chinese investments on national security grounds, and voicing concerns at human rights abuses in China. Scott Morrison says he won't sit down with Beijing for talks if they try to impose preconditions.
Those discussions won't take place on the base of any sort of preemptive concessions on Australia's part on those matters. I don't think any Australian would want their Prime Minister to be conceding the points that they've set out.
And looming behind all of this is the change of power in the United States. This week there'll be a flurry of phone calls between Australian and American top officials and leaders, including US President Joe Biden and Scott Morrison. Natasha Kassam from the Lowy Institute says if the Biden administration re-engages in Asia, it may help provide Australia a reprieve.
There is evidence that Australia will be able to look for more solidarity and coordination amongst its partners and allies. Having said that, there needs to be more than symbolism. I don't think there is yet any evidence to suggest that a significant policy change is coming.
But, she says, in the end, the tensions between Australia and China are structural.
In the past, Australia and China were able to maintain a fiction that the economic and security relationships were on separate tracks. What we have seen with a more ambitious China is that that is no longer possible.
And while better diplomacy might help, it won't provide a solution.
Foreign Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts.